We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, September 4th. We are 1 week in for Aggie football and couldn't be doing any better. How are we doing, Roy?
Dude, I'm in a fantastic mood. I had a closing today. We got that first week in the college football where the NFL didn't step on any time slots. So it was just like Thursday to Monday, even though the Monday game was a stinker. I actually didn't even watch the game on Monday. But dude, we're in it, man. I said this morning on the fan shows, soccer, volleyball, football. Like, it's all the kids are back. It's past syllabus week. And I have eggs.
He has eggs. It's a winner.
I have eggs. So I didn't have fried chicken. I have eggs.
Hey, you know, like I said, either way, you were going to win, right? That was the whole thought process.
I don't remember if I had eggs before last week. I don't know.
But you have eggs now, and that's what matters.
I just grabbed two more, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
One of them is not syncing up.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting two different color, slightly different color eggs, but yes, they're consistent. Mm-hmm. But I have like four of one and two of the other. Like, the two I picked out were the same color and size. So, like, I've got Machine Gun Kelly for one chicken. And I've got like waiting on a chess move, you know, just like they're taking forever.
Forever.
But I have eggs, and I will say, I can't remember the last time I had a farm egg. They're so good.
No question. I am Rob White, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014.
I'm Roy May, Fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2015.
And we've got plenty to get into this week, so let's just go ahead and get it rolling. Roy, what you got?
I just want to let's just start with initial thoughts on the game. We don't have to dive too deep into it outside of the backdoor cover. Yeah, that was
annoying for our picks.
Yes.
Well, and for my final score prediction, because what did I say? I said 41-17. I was off by a point. And what happens? Backdoor cover.
Turds.
Highly annoyed, but that's okay.
High drama. What were your thoughts, though, overall? Give me, a real positive you took away and give me a real negative you took away from the game. Sure.
I liked what dead obvious. I really liked what we saw in terms of the offensive passing game. That looked a lot better over the course of the game as a whole. I think Marcel Reed looked about as good as he did. I mean, threw four touchdown passes, damn near 300 yards. No interceptions. He played a clean game.
No fumbles.
Yeah. And not to mention our additions from the portal in terms of wide receivers, both looked excellent. And this is a big one for me, another positive, no injuries.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? It looked like, yeah, Hunter brought this up. I didn't see this early in the game. Like, he caught something in the flat and he kind of got caught by the turf monster and went down and kind of limped off and was out for a little while. Yeah. Apparently Hunter was freaking out about it. I didn't even notice it happened.
Yeah.
I'll give you two more snippets about, in fact, I'm going to give you three about the passing game since you like it so much. And if you're an Aggie, you liked it. It was fantastic. So you already covered Marcel. We ran play action on 34% of the dropbacks and used screens on 26.8% of the plays. And that's like last year it was 7% play action. That is a remarkable increase. Mm-hmm. Explosive plays. Which what have we been saying going into the season? We want to generate big plays and we want to stop big plays.
Yes.
Explosive plays, 8 plays of 20 or more yards. And that's almost as many as we had all year last year. And then big baller of the game, Mario Craver, 105 yards in yak.
Yeah. Two touchdowns. Like
yards after contact. And to have receivers that can create separation, have incredible speed in hands, you know, have the ability to create that yards after contact. Dude, when's the last time we had that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
And two of them.
Yeah.
All right.
I really like that. And then I guess one other positive I did like, if we're going big positives, I liked what we saw in terms of defensive adjustment in the second half. We always talk about the adjustments from Elko. That's the thing that we tend to see, right? Outside of obviously the big run to start the second half, we largely bottled them up.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
No.
Yeah, that we got to talk about our safeties in run defense. Like
Yes.
everybody's putting on the defensive line and watch that play three or four times, and you're going to see one specific player whiff pretty bad. But so to caveat on the before we go to kind of what you didn't like, so talking about Marcel Reed, like, and I know it's one game, right? And I get it's UTSA, and UTSA is a good team, but because of their offense, UTSA's defense is not exactly world beaters, right? But what did you see from Marcel, like development wise?
I mean, I liked how he read through his progressions. He was really good about movement around. Then the moment he realized that nothing was happening, took off. I mean, he was our lead rusher in the game.
I thought he was faster with his progressions. That was something we complained about last year a lot, right? Being late, being late on his reads, and then having to use his legs. So yeah, I was really impressed with what I saw out of him. I mean,
Well, and the receivers were getting open too and actually making catches.
yeah, it's kind of ideal. Not normally what we see around here in Aggieland, but it was nice to see it.
Yeah, it was good to see that we did a lot better in terms of the pass game. Across the board, I think that was a positive movement from what we saw most of the season last year.
Yeah.
And good protection too. So can't complain.
Yeah, offensive line could have played better.
Could have, yeah.
It's yeah, that was a bit of a head scratcher just because as big as they are, as seasoned as they are. But again, first game knocking the dust off. It sure is nice to knock the dust off against somebody other than a Notre Dame, right?
Right.
And just real quick, like on the the play action and the screens, which I loved seeing, right? Now we have the receivers that can play the Texas offense of last year, right? Give it to them in the flat and it's a 75-yard pass, right? Like, do you see that being sustainable? Like, using that much larger of a percentage of play action and screens? I mean, I do. I think that's one of the greatest bailouts and helpful things for a quarterback on the planet.
I think it's a very good thing. I think something that's going to be talked about, and I know we're going to probably get into the on the negative side. I think we saw a lot more in terms of passing in this game and a lot more move around on that front because I think we were trying to do ourselves a little favor and not give too much on tape for the run game. I don't know if that's the case. That's
Well,
the rumor.
so in the press conference, they said it pretty clearly. UTSA was stacking the box. Like, there's no reason to, against UTSA, pound your back in there over and over and over into a loaded box. And I was really happy with them sticking with the game plan and Marcel not just using his legs. Like, Marcel truly locking in as a passer, his reads, throwing the ball properly, where it needs to be, not skipping it 5 yards in front of the receiver. good mechanics. So I was just really happy with it because we're starting to see a little bit more of a balanced offense. But again, like, we weren't going to run.
Right.
We just weren't going to run, which I'm okay with because that just means we're also making offensive adjustments as well relative to whatever the defense is bringing us. And Marcel not being run happy and sticking with the passing game, that might have been my favorite thing of the game, honestly. It's just how Marcel played and how he didn't like force it when the game got close. So,
Yeah,
all
no,
right.
he definitely looked better, no question.
Yeah. All right,
He has
bad.
developed bad.
No,
So
I mean, let's move on to the bad.
yeah,
Like,
that's
what's
something bad.
the bad thing? Yeah, what's your bad thing?
So, man, my bad thing obviously was the lack of tackling in the secondary. In terms of, well, missed assignments, and I get it. Henry, great running back, and I mean he looked good even in previous seasons. He's looking good this year. But that being said, you need to do a better job in contain. I mean, whenever they scored that touchdown run earlier in the game, I mean, just beat us on the edge. We weren't set up properly. Like we don't adjust for that. We didn't have good coverage on that. And whenever you make that initial contact, bring the guy to the ground. That was certainly something that was a bit of a struggle I didn't like. That's something I think we can easily fix because I think it was bad positioning more than anything. Because I think these guys are talented enough to actually make the tackles, but they just got to be in the right spot.
Yeah, I think, well, and I don't think it was for by scheme either. I think it was them just putting themselves in the wrong position.
Sure.
But some of it was just kind of open field tackling. There were some whiffs. There were some
There
really
were.
bad. That long run, it was just an absolute whiff from the secondary, from number one. So, yeah, my bad, other than the backdoor cover on the spread crap, is that big run. I mean, you take out that big run. I know you can't, right? But you take out that big run, and they don't do anything in the second half, like nothing. So it's frustrating to see that run. Something got, got to clean some stuff up, quite frankly. But we've got another week to do it.
Exactly. See
As
that.
opposed to, and I'm not trying to jump ahead too much, but as opposed to Notre Dame, who has a bye week, now they get 2 weeks to prepare for us. But they've also kind of got that taste in their mouth of losing, right? Because I thought that last drive by Notre Dame, that quarterback's good. He's gutsy. He almost reminds me a little, he's got like some Bucky in him,
Sure. Yeah, he's a tough guy.
But then to lose the way they did, I mean, I'm glad they lost.
Sure.
But
I mean, they were well within that game, and it was tough. It was a tough way to lose that game. And
well, I think Miami's good though. Yeah, I think Miami's good. So I don't know how much really to glean from the Notre Dame losing, but I will say that what they don't have is another opportunity to go out and fine-tune some stuff that they got wrong.
No, they just have to play against each other for a week, watch
Dude.
more film on us, and then
Wait.
hopefully we get after them.
Yeah, they play against each other for 2 weeks straight. So, all right. Let's see here. Oh, I want to talk about it's one of my favorite things in football. I think there is nothing that will rev up a crowd more, but man, that punt return.
Yes, and I mean, what a way to introduce yourself to a fan base coming in. I mean, and honestly, that was something I was impressed with all day. Was not, I mean, punt returns, kick returns, they were finding lanes and they were getting up the field.
209 total return yards. And
Pretty
so
good.
even with the 80 yarder, that's 129 return yards, which in today's game, the way it's set up, that's really good.
That's very good. I mean, yeah, special teams, excellent. Punting looked, I mean, obviously punting looked good. We didn't really get a chance to see much on the field goal front, obviously. But over the course of the game, I mean, I felt like at no point were we really out of control of it, right? I feel like for the most part, we did our job. We took care of business. We won the game,
Well,
which is what you're doing, especially against a really good group of five team in UTSA. And Lord knows I'm going to be keeping an eye on that Texas State game this weekend. But
yeah, isn't that in the Alamo Dome? Yeah,
home game.
nice. That should be fun.
A big rivalry too. Big rivalry
Yeah,
between the two of them.
that'll be yeah. UTSA will be a team to keep an eye on. That just Utah State's just not. We'll get into them later. But I think if UTSA and Utah State play 10 times, UTSA probably wins 9 of them, if not 10.
Yeah, no, UTSA is a good ball club, and I expect big things from them this season. Better than 6-6 from last year, I think.
Yeah. So then there's the part where you go, what do we take away from this game? And again, these non-conference is just a little different. I mean, not a ton, even though UTSA's offense is good. Like, what do you take away from this game? Like, what's your biggest takeaway, whether it's good or bad?
My big one is obviously just getting that on-field experience. Get your feet wet again, get the feeling of it again. You've got some things that you can look at and take forward. Obviously, we mentioned the tackling bit. That's something that hopefully we drill on a bit in terms of the secondary. But I mean, if as far as the passing game goes, keep doing what you're doing. I like what we're seeing. And what I would like to see is hopefully stretch our legs a little bit in the run game, run block, good movement, create holes. That's something I would definitely want to see us moving forward with, even against a stacked box, if you can find a way to make holes. Because regardless, you've got a really dynamic running team, with all these backs. Everybody knows this is a really good little stable of running backs, and they're going to play against it. So if you're going over the top, keep them honest. Open up the run game.
Yeah, I think, well, and that was one thing we talked about. It just if they're going to stack the box, you don't run. There's no point in it, right? It's a long season. Why are you just going to slam dudes in between the tackles and see what happens? I think my biggest takeaway, honestly, is Marcel Reed's play.
Yeah, he looked great.
He looked comfortable in the pocket. He looked comfortable going through his progressions. Balls were on time. Balls were where they needed to be for the most part. I was really happy to see him play well because that was. That's one of your question marks is can your quarterback take that step from, year one to year two? And it was kind of almost year one. Like he didn't get quite the full year, but he got enough to where it was year one, right? And does he go through a sophomore slump or does he actually make that next step? And it's one game of data, so let's not get crazy.
Sure.
But from what I saw, it doesn't matter who the defense is, there's a defense out there. From what I saw, he's taking that progression. I didn't see any throws that were overly risky or like trying to force a ball in. It looks like the game has slowed down for him in the secondary, and that's everything in the world for a quarterback. And
Yeah.
so if that's what he's seeing, if he's making his pre-snap reads well, he's going through his progressions, he's finding the right receiver, and he's throwing it where it needs to be. That's got to do that too. And on time, like we talked about, last year he was late. He was just late, 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 late. It caused issues. And so that was just one thing I was really happy about. Honestly, that's my biggest takeaway from this game is just his play. And if I had to pick a second one, it'd be the holy crap, the receivers.
I mean, like I said, the passing game was definitely a step up from what we had seen. And I think that's a very important deal, especially for Marcell Reed in terms of his confidence moving forward, heading into these next several games. And the beauty of the situation is now, as opposed to what happened last year, you get that very first game against Notre Dame at home. Like, that's your first outing. You don't really get the chance to do that tune-up. You get two tune-ups before you have to worry about Notre Dame. And by that point, if we've learned anything, an extra bye week is not always the most beneficial thing on the planet. Case in point, look at the playoff last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Then, if there's one thing I would like to see get cleaned up, though, is him throwing at 65%, clip. I'd like to see that number in the 70s and regularly. Like, I don't want to see one week of in the 70s. I want to see it in the 70s as a season average. But I'm nitpicking a little bit off of one game.
So, but happy with the win, always. We will never complain about a win. So we'll take it.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so we'll just look ahead real quick to Utah State. Like we said, there's not a lot to say about it, quite frankly. They played UTEP week one. They had 362 yards in the offense, 129 of which were rushing yards. So,
I forget
240
UTEP still has a
passing.
football team
Yeah,
at times.
Utah State. Probably the only players on their team you're looking for is a quarterback and the running back, Bryson Barnes, and the running back's Miles Davis. One thing I was surprised when I was looking at the stats from their game last week, Utah State had 11 penalties for 73 yards. That is a,
It's a lot.
it's not a lot of yardage for how many penalties they had.
So
So
little things.
offsides and false starts, I guess.
Which is
But
fine, but it's fine for me.
no, I'll take it all day.
Yeah, I'll take it all day.
I love teams to shoot themselves in the foot. I hate it when we do it. But they were also 2 of 12 on third downs. Like that is abysmal.
Yeah, so we need to keep them buried on those third down.
Their lines are small. This game is going to be one of the trenches. I would expect to see a good bit of Miles O'Neal. I would, expect to see Le'Veon Moss with a hat on, by the middle of the third quarter at a minimum. This should be an absolute blowout. It's a 28.5 point spread. This ain't UTSA. So I like this game. Again, it's a great opportunity to get some things ironed out. And maybe see a little bit more tight end involvement or just whatever Klein's kind of thinking to what's the next page in the book that we're going to turn to kind of thing. And so for me, I'm excited for this game, even though it's Utah State. I'm excited because I want to see progression from game to game. We don't want to see him come out and do the same thing, give up a 75-yard run and blah, 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 blah. So this is one where I just want to see progression is probably a nice way to put it.
So you've knocked the dust off the chains. It's time to start pulling and start pulling well. And I have a feeling this will be a better game for us as across the board. At least that's the hope. We don't want ourselves a Bowling Green situation. I highly doubt that's what's going to happen here. Nothing against Utah State, but I
There,
got a good feeling for this.
UTSA is just better. That's all there is to it. We're at home. The only step back or negative or however you want to put it that I could see would be like Notre Dame's next week.
Right, and I'd focus
Or
in.
yeah, early kickoff, Notre Dame's next week. But I will say, and we've talked about this a lot, just about the culture that Mike Elko is bringing in. And the reality is You could see it on the field on Saturday. Wide receivers blocking, like truly blocking, like real, like blocking their asses off, quite frankly. DJ Smith was insane on the punt return, blocked three separate dudes and
Love that.
supermanned into the end zone.
So good.
But that, you know, that's the kind of, those are the little things that good teams do, you know, and those are the little things that bad teams don't. And so to see those wide receivers on the outside really truly blocking, it just goes to show there's a lot more attention to detail. There's a lot more culture, you know, involved, because good teams with good culture do the little things, and they do the little things well. You can't control the bounces in this game, but you can control everything else. Well, you know, you can't, you know, refs, but yeah.
Yep, we will be looking forward to this matchup, and of course, we'll go through our picks here in a little bit once we get to it. But
Yeah, that this them looking ahead would be my only concern. But I think even if they're looking ahead and they get popped in the mouth a little bit in the first quarter, they're gonna be like, "Oh yeah, hold on, we got to beat Utah State first." And so, and I'm not sitting here just trying to trash on Utah State. It's just the reality of their program. It's the reality of their football team. Their line's small. Yeah, their defense isn't very good. So it's I expect this to be a lot of fun. Just from an Aggie perspective, if you like high scoring games.
yeah, Maroon Aggies specifically. If you're a navy blue
It is
Aggie.
Aggie on Aggie violence this weekend. I believe they have cow spotted helmets.
I pray they break them out.
I think they broke them out last week, didn't they?
Oh, they should break them out this week. Wear them twice. It's okay. You can wear the same outfit two separate weekends, just wash them.
Oh man,
I need to find out now.
I don't know if I'm for that or against that. That I like non-traditional uniforms from time to time. I really like yeah, great helmets, right? They do something crazy with their helmets. Kentucky's chrome helmets. I
Sure.
love them. I absolutely love those.
So what I'm gathering here, it looks like Utah State's going to go white, blue, which is fine.
Were there no spots on the helmet? I can't see.
No spots on the helmet. It's just a standard. It's
Boo,
their standard
boo,
white helmet with the
boo,
U State.
boo, boo, Utah State. Boo, boo,
Moo, moo,
boo, boo, Wendy Tessenberger.
moo.
All right. So you want to get into the picks, or do you want to get into the questions?
Let's get into the, yeah, let's go and do our picks real quick. Let's cover last week.
We sucked last week. We both went 1-4. If you gamble with any of our picks, we are severely sorry, but we will not be compensating you.
No, I mean, you know, when you listen to this thing, at no point do we give any sort of financial advice on this podcast.
And we're morons, so there's that.
Yeah, we're just
So obviously,
guys close.
Baylor crap the bed. Bama is in a way right now.
Bama's in the doghouse. They're
LSU looked really good, and LSU, if I had to pick right now, is going to win the SEC. LSU or maybe Georgia, but caveat: LSU needs Nussmeier to play well in every game.
so on the LSU note, something to keep in mind, right? So of course Lee Corso gets to do his very last game day. An
Kudos.
incredible Ohio
Kudos.
State, that was a wonderful tribute. End up giving him the original head as a gift. But important note, he got every single one of his picks right. All of his teams won. And who did he pick to win the national title? LSU. It's gonna be the Tigers, man. Lee
Unbelievable.
Corso's will be done this year.
Right. We both obviously picked Ohio State to win because we hate Texas.
Worked out.
But I think we also gave pretty valid reasons for it. And we can get into that for a second before we get to the questions. And then obviously the Jags got hosed on a backdoor cover.
Yeah, as far as the Texas situation, I mean, the amount of talk about Arch Manning before the game, during the game, after the game, in the commercials during the game, my God, he is another human. Stop.
Yeah.
Much.
So I saw, I don't know if you've seen any of the videos that like they do breakdown of their of film. I saw a guy break down Arch's film, and he was a former college quarterback. I think he played in the pros for a while too. In fact, yeah, because he was talking like he was on the Falcons when Sark was there.
Yeah.
And I get that it was a big moment. It's your first road start, and like all the weight of the world has been put on you, whether you ask for it or not.
Yeah.
But his mechanics are bad. Like that's what was most surprising to me. It's not like that first pass that he skipped into that wide open receiver. That's nerves, most likely. But then when you go back and look and you actually focus in on the mechanics, there are a lot of things that are really off with him. And I don't understand how you can be in a system for 2 years with a guy that's supposedly a quarterback whisperer and have your mechanics look like that for 85% of the game.
I think it's important to note that's a very good point. So many people, apologists online, a lot of Longhorns, but other analysts, apologists, like, it's his first start. Yeah, you can't judge it. They're showing these numbers between how Manning was this year and how Colt McCoy was this year and yada, yada, yada. The dude's been in the system. He's not a freshman.
Yeah, there's a couple of stark differences from some of the comparisons he was making,
Yeah, and then just
or
to
people
make
are
it.
making in general.
Well, and talking about mechanics, I think the funniest video I have seen on the internet this week was somebody who did a side by side with him throwing that little last second pass, side pass, and it gets deflected and just not great. And then he immediately cuts to Uncle Rico throwing the
Yeah,
steak.
no, I saw that. Well, what's funny though, it wasn't just that one pass though. He throws from the side slot a lot. And this guy saying, he goes, I don't know, maybe he is injured. I don't know. I don't buy it. But he's got happy feet. He doesn't deliver he delivers a ball from a kind of a side slot. And he's not like 6'6" or 6'7". So you need to be going over the top with a little bit more. But I was fascinated when I saw the film breakdown that a quarterback that has been with Sarkisian for 2 years plus still throws the ball like that.
Yeah, that's something that if you're a Texas fan, you pray he cleans up. And if you're everybody else, I appreciate a good chuckle on a Saturday if we get one.
If you're a Texas fan, because the next three games are going to win, right? It's just
Should
sheer
be.
talent. Their defense is still really good.
Oh, incredibly good. I mean, you hold Ohio State to 14 points at home. Problem is, you just couldn't score.
Mean, I know that Ohio State was breaking a new quarterback, but that kid actually looked pretty good.
You looked all right. I mean, he certainly looked better than Manning did.
Yeah. I saw somebody say, I think it might have been a Texas fan, said if Julius Sand had been on Texas, Texas wins that game. That's a pretty severe indictment. But if you're Texas, I mean,
The wheels have not fallen off the bus yet. I
oh
think
gosh, no,
no.
they'll be 3-1 in no time.
Yeah.
But it's just if you're a Texas fan and a decent amount about football, you don't have to know that much. Bad mechanics, like you don't just fix that in a week. Like when they're that bad, small mechanic tweaks can be made pretty quickly.
But a
Got
whole.
some. Well, it's not just his arm slot, it's his feet. I get that all the pressure in the world was on him on
Sure.
Saturday.
Oh,
Like
no question.
more so than any player in the nation.
Maybe ever. I mean, that was pure insanity. I mean, in the modern NIL era, I've never seen this kind of hype ahead of a start. I mean, ESPN was talking about it. Fox was talking about it. I mean, we mentioned this all before, but I mean, literally all eyes on the nation. I mean, you had 16.6 million viewers watching this Ohio State game, and they were largely watching to see how Arch Manning played,
Yep.
which I get it. You're coming from a family of great quarterbacks, and I don't even know. That's wild.
All right, quick update on the records. We're not 1-4, we're 2-4. We did both pick Iowa State and Dublin.
Yes, we did. Go Cyclones. Yeah, little better winning percentage. Little better percentage there.
Gonna get back to them too this week. All right, let's get these picks. All right, first one is I believe it's number 17. I didn't write it down. I think they're number 17. Illinois is at Duke. I think so. Illinois is one of the most experienced teams, if not the experienced team, like returning starter team in the nation, I believe. Duke is a good team.
They are.
They are. M Mike Elko did not leave that cupboard bare by any means. But I think it could be a really good game, quite frankly, but I think that Illinois has a legitimate opportunity, like in the Big Ten this year. Like
I think.
that's how good I think Illinois is. I mean, you still got Ohio State, you still got Penn State. I get that, but Illinois is good. I mean, they're the kind of team that can sneak in the
Well, if you look at them and going
playoffs.
back to last year, I mean, they're on a hell of a tear. I mean, they cruised through the back end of their schedule, beat South Carolina in the bowl game, looked
Yeah.
pretty damn good in their first game. I mean, they're certainly not going to be scrubs
Yeah, I'm
coming.
going to take Illinois beating Duke in this one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I know it's a road game, but I'm not really all that worried about Duke's road environment in this particular situation.
Yeah, I've actually been to a game there. It's cute.
Yeah, it's you know, they got a track.
Yeah.
Like
All
a
right,
legit
El
track.
Asico.
El Asico, one of our all-time favorites on this podcast. Iowa State. Who has the better corn in the state of Iowa? That would be the one that actually grows them, Iowa State.
That would this is for those of you who don't know, this is legitimately one of the worst football games to watch basically every year.
Every year.
It could be 68 degrees, sunny. They could be playing flag football and they wouldn't score a touchdown.
And it's at Jack Trice. It's in Ames.
Yeah, it's in Ames. You don't just walk into Ames on Thursday night.
No, nobody walks into Ames on a Thursday or a Friday night and walks out clean. Nobody. But
Now, what's
Saturday.
funny about this game, for those of you that don't know, it generally is very competitive. It's just wildly low scoring. You're talking like 9-6. So, you know, 12-8.5. Like they come up with the weirdest scores in this game too. It's just the whole thing is weird, right? But it is a fierce rivalry.
It is. Well, it, one of my all-time favorite things about this rivalry is the fact that if you look at Iowa's helmets, so the Hawkeyes, they have a little sticker on the back that has three letters in a round circle, and it says ANF, which is America Needs Farmers. Mind you, Iowa State is the ag school in the state. It's what they specialize in. So what they have is they have a, I think it's AHF, which stands for Actually Helping Farmers.
Oh.
It's a whole thing, man. They are all about the corn. It's the
The
corniest rivalry you've ever seen outside of Hawkeyes and Cornhuskers.
I'm just gonna let that one float in the ether. That was terrible.
Thanks, man. I try.
All right, so who you got on this one?
Well, I think my answer is pretty obvious. I'm all about tornadoes here, so cyclones all day.
Yeah, I still got Iowa State as one of the, if not the best teams in the Big 12.
Yeah, they're going to compete for sure.
Yeah, and it's at home. I really like Campbell. I
Yeah,
do.
Campbell's guy.
And I think, you know, their ability to beat Kansas State, like there's a lot of things to like about Iowa State this year. So yeah, I'm definitely taking them.
Speaking of Kansas State, you saw they squeaked by North Dakota the other day.
Squeak would be a nice way to put it.
Man, to score
All
last
right.
minute touchdown. Oof.
Michigan on the road in Norman with Oklahoma and Metier under center or behind the center in the gun, wherever.
Wherever.
This is
Whatever.
one of those where I'm hesitant to ever talk positively about Michigan after last year. But this might be a game where we find something out about both of these teams.
Well, yeah.
So for Michigan, we find out if they were able to kind of rebound and right the ship, quite frankly. And OU, if they're ready for a big opponent, and is Metier as good as advertised? Because I think all the hype that's been around Oklahoma is specifically because of Metier.
Sure.
But gosh, Michigan's offense is ugh.
Well, and they didn't exactly look outstanding against New Mexico. They just didn't. And that's not exactly a top-notch football program.
New. So,
Neither's Illinois State, but and Oklahoma won that one. I mean, I would have expected more points out of them, but they won 35-3, you know, comfortable.
yeah, I was comfortable win.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Michigan go in and pull the upset, quite frankly, because I think it would be an upset no matter how you look at it. But I'm gonna have to go with the Sooners here.
Ugh, I was going to pick the Sooners. And here's why. Because all the Fox analysts picked Michigan. Every single one of them.
Really?
So I'm all in on the Sooners.
Oh yeah, Fox Big Ten. Yeah, that makes sense.
Nope, give me Oklahoma.
Yeah, until Michigan can show they've righted the ship, I think we might see a little bit of a coming up. Because again, even though Michigan's not that good, that helmet means something
It
when people
does.
are thinking about voting on stuff. And if Metier goes out and puts up 450 yards offense on Michigan, period. No matter if they're good or not, it's going to say something. So I'll be interested to see. And we were talking about this morning as well. I didn't realize that he could run as well as he does. So he can move a little.
That's
So yeah,
one.
I've got you in this one. One game we're not going to pick, I want to bring it up right quick, is the only SEC game of the weekend. Ole Miss and Kentucky. Well, I mean, you know for a fact, like we know that the Kentucky loss is what kept Ole Miss out of the playoffs last year. What we also know, Lane Kiffin is a child.
Absolutely.
What we also know, children hold grudges. This one could get really ugly.
Well, I was laughing because Ghost of Texas Football, anybody that follows him on Twitter, good sip to follow if you
He
follow
is. He's a
sips.
good follow.
He's a good follow. He picked that game and he had it a little tighter than I thought it would have been. He picked Ole Miss to win, but he was expecting like maybe like a 20-13 game. I'm like, Ole Miss is dumping everything they have on them.
Lane Kiffin will call timeouts with a minute left in the fourth quarter, score another touchdown if he can.
Oh yeah, he's petty. If we've learned anything about the man, he's petty. We did
So
have
that's just a game to watch out for. It's kind of what I'm
yes.
saying. All right. Next game, Arizona State at Mississippi State. This is an interesting one.
It is. Now, like Mississippi State coming in, I didn't really have much expectations. I still don't. But the fact that the game is in is going to be at Davis Wade.
It's a night game too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 6:30 kick. Arizona State's coming to town.
That place
Cowbells
is
are going to be
different.
ringing. They're going to be super hyped because they took care of business against Southern Miss on the road to kick off the year. First home game. They're going to bring it, man.
That's going to be a crazy environment. Here's the problem. I don't know much about Arizona State this year, quite frankly. I would
Good
assume.
team.
Yeah, I don't know much about them.
I mean, they're ranked high preseason, but that, once again, we've learned means nothing.
That's fair. Oh yeah, aren't they like 19th?
Well, they're at 12.
12th. That's right. I think SMU is 19th. They won't
Yeah,
lose that.
they're 12. I mean, they're up the list here. I mean, they're higher
Okay,
ranked than
they
we
are
are.
good. This could be like you want to talk about a marquee win
Yeah.
that maybe gets this program back on the rails since Leach is gone. Because they've struggled.
They have.
And Mississippi State is not the place where you're going to attract the highest, level coaches. So you have who you have. I would love for Mississippi State to win this game.
I mean, that's who I'm picking.
Big
But
Mississippi State.
yeah, I'm picking Mississippi State. I mean, just Arizona. I mean, Arizona State. I mean, obviously, I have a soft spot for Arizona State because of my dad. That's where he went to school. Always been a big fan of the Forks. But I don't know. Mississippi State's just got something. I'm feeling it right now. I think they're going to take care of business against
I'm going
them.
to go ahead and take Arizona State. I think it's a tight game, but I'll take Arizona State.
All right, we have a split. Yay!
Because I will say, like, those cowbells stop when you're getting beat.
You're absolutely right. You're not wrong.
If Arizona State can get out there and jump on them quick, I think Arizona State handles them pretty easily.
Yeah, if it is tight, might be
If
interesting.
it's tight, then obviously that home field advantage is obnoxiously, it's terrible.
Hate it.
I mean, it's good for them, but
Hate it.
got two more. We're picking six this week just because there were enough good games where I thought we were picking. SMU Baylor. SMU at Baylor. Baylor coming off that hard loss to Auburn. I think Auburn might accidentally be decent this year, though. Like, I don't think that a bad Auburn team beat Baylor.
No, I don't think a bad Auburn team beat Baylor. Obviously, we were kind of up in the air on that with our pick. We weren't sure how their system was going to look, but they largely looked pretty good on the road.
They did. Not that it's the most intimidating environment by any means. Like,
No, but it's the first game of the year. Baylor was going to bring it.
I know current Baylor students that are like, our games are lame. This is a tough one. SMU's ranked really well. Else SMU's good. I think Baylor's good though. I don't think that them losing to Auburn is indicative of them being a bad football team. I think Baylor's good. I just think Auburn's better than we thought they were going to be.
Yeah, this one, obviously shades of Southwest Conference, right? This is the kind of
Oh
stuff we
yeah.
love, you know, like these are the
Big
type of
time.
matchups that we would love to get into. I mean, you know, I SMU looks solid. They were pretty solid last year, obviously.
Yeah.
That obviously helped them out this year so far. Looking decent. I don't know.
There's something about this game. I don't know, man. It's I just feel like Baylor is better than we think they are based off the results against Auburn.
Sure.
I don't know, man.
I can agree with that.
Who you got?
I'll go ahead and, you know what, I'll just go ahead and take SMU. I mean, just, and I'm strictly doing this from the perspective that I'm a Methodist.
Well, there you go. I'm a Baptist. I'm taking Baylor.
There you go.
Done.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And then the last one, do the X cover.
Yes.
3.5. All
All
right.
day.
Let's see in the cover.
A&M covers.
All right. All right.
Okay.
That's it for the picks.
That's it for picks. Now we did have a handful of questions. I am so happy to say. We appreciate y'all firing those in always. So let me go ahead and just get those pulled up real fast. First one we actually got on Instagram was from Garrett Smith. It's not sports related. So I will fire that one in first. He says, hitting with a non-sports question. We've lost the Hall, Harry's, Stampede, Good Riddance, and Shiner Park. If someone doesn't install a long-term dance hall in College Station, do you see that negatively impacting the actual culture of Texas A&M long term?
No. No, I think that that ship has already sailed relative to how many people will go out two-stepping. I think it'll hurt as far as getting acts to show up here and play.
No question.
We're running out of venues. But I also think that somebody's going to come in and do it. I've said this before. I think we're truly in the first stage of like self-made, incredibly wealthy Aggies retiring. And a lot of them are moving back here. You know why I know that? I'm in real estate in this town. A lot of them are moving back. And you're going to have some dude that might have more money than sense, but decide to open something up or build something. So I think we'll end up with a venue. So I think it's a bit of a moot point, but I also think that A&M has changed a lot over the last 10 years anyways.
It has. I mean, it's certainly not the same school that you and I went to. It's grown a lot.
It's grown a lot. The going back to like my sister was here in 95, it was a little bit more of a, you had a lot more just kind of country type folks. So I think there'll be another venue or somebody will buy Shiner Park and kind of redo it or whatever. Although I think they need to turn it into back into the old movie theater personally. But
So I actually have a little inside information on that. I'm glad you brought this question up. I actually had a discussion with this guy earlier today. There's basically a friend of mine named Jared Lang. He is looking into potential venue options kind of in and around the area. He's looking at downtown Bryan, actually. There's a block that's got three buildings on it that could all be converted into some kind of combo deal where, maybe you got what a venue in one room, maybe a bar next door. Outdoor section for a show. It's like kind of all in one little spot. I think that's a cool idea. There is ground that has been broken out on the road heading out towards Snook. So off of 60, I believe, heading
oh
out.
yeah, I've heard about that. Like, yeah, headed down towards Snook.
Yep. Somebody has broken ground on a music venue out there, apparently large dance hall.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that's honestly a perfect location for it, strictly because that's still close enough to the university that nobody's going to balk at it.
Yeah.
And honestly, that was kind of the main direction you could move outside of going maybe on the outside of 2018 up in Bryan, if you're looking for like new development, not just buying out a building. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. The problem is apparently this guy's just really not talking to anybody. So it's a tough deal to know exactly what's going on with it. But I'm happy to say that at least it looks like we are getting some movement on that front, which is good because we've learned anything about the bar culture in just in general, it's struggling a lot.
Yeah.
It just is. So it's an unfortunate deal, especially for somebody whose music career is largely based on being able to play these type of venues. We've still got the Tap in Town. They're still putting on some good shows. Palace has really stepped up their game in terms of bringing in acts, which is awesome to see. So, I mean, regardless, you're going to have opportunities to go see shows. It just may not be the big ones outside of the festivals, which Troubadour Fest, it's a great deal. I'm glad that's involved. I'm glad it's on campus. A lot of people have good access to it. Chili Fest is still a thing. At the Station is a thing. It's a little chaotic at this point because they didn't even get the lease back out at the old location. They had to move to the airport in Hearn. And that's going to be chaos.
That's no good.
Yeah, no, that whole festival seems like a big cluster, but that's neither here nor there.
Maybe I'll fix it.
Maybe, but yeah, in answer to your question, yeah, no, I don't think it will affect much of our culture here at A&M, because it's already changed. The only
Yeah.
thing that, the only thing that's going to happen is we're going to see, hopefully, an inclusion once that comes back around. That's the hope and the prayer.
Yeah, College Station has turned more into Century Square and less like Harry's.
Yeah,
I
no
mean, so
question.
that's, yeah.
Fact of life. Jonna, our friend Jonna, said, Roy's been texting me the songs that he has stuck in his head. Rob, I think we need to hear from you. What music has been on your mind recently? Anything on the most played list that we should know about?
I'll give you a little context. So, for no reason, honestly, just no reason whatsoever. So you wake up every morning with a song in your head, right?
Sure.
Yeah, every morning. Sometimes same song a couple of days in a row, but you always wake up with a song in your head. And so I decided to start chronicling this to make a playlist out of it. And so every morning I wake up and I write it down on my Samsung note and I send it to John and I send it to another friend of mine, Caroline, just to tell him like the song. And so thus far I am 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm only 8 days in. Okay. Like, so it's not crazy. But in order, Rockstar by Nickelback, Hooked on a Feeling, Thunderstruck, which coincidentally was game day,
Right.
Rising Sun, Blind Melon, Change, Dream Lover by Bobby Darin, Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, and this morning it was Garden by Pearl Jam, which I haven't heard that song in probably 3 years.
Great song. All of those great songs.
This
Good
is going to
songs.
be the most random playlist ever when I'm done with it, but I'm kind of like, it's been kind of fun to like keep
Yeah.
up with. I'm just waiting for us. I was telling my friend, I'm just waiting for like that one morning when I wake up with Mozart in my head and just totally screw the whole algorithm.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because I mean, there has been a song I've been kind of jumping in on the last couple days. When I've been jamming, it's an artist that I hadn't really been digging into much. But while we were driving around up in the Pacific Northwest on one of the stretches on a drive, Carson looked over me and said, "Hey, you ought to play some Theory of a Dead Man." And I was like,
Oh.
"Okay, yeah, I hadn't thought about Theory in a long time." So I put on their big record, and the second song on that record hits so good. It's called By the Way, kind of a slower 6/8 jam, but it rocks and rolls. That's a song that's been calling to me. In fact, I think I'm going to sing it for soundcheck this
I
weekend.
haven't even thought about that band in
Bad,
a decade.
bad girlfriend. But great music. I mean, I've always liked those guys, so not a problem with them. Jive Coach G did ask. It's a question. I know a guy driving to Nasty Knack or Nacogdoches tonight to watch the Fighting Texas Aggie Soccer Club take on the women at SFA. Thoughts on where you would and wouldn't want to go for an away soccer game?
I'm not really familiar with with a lot of the stadiums.
I know South Carolina historically has had a really good soccer culture.
You know what? North Carolina and Duke would be two good ones. Those are two powerhouse programs. Virginia is probably another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of that stuff when you're talking about going to see story programs is going to be out of the East Coast.
Right.
You couldn't pay me to go to Waco for a game.
No. Yeah, those are just not a whole lot of fun, I feel like.
Well, be safe, old neck of nowhere.
Yeah, no neck of nowhere. I like playing there. Bonita Creek's a cool venue. It's good people up there. I like that. That's about the extent of my time spent in Nacogdoches. So I did want to kind of wrap up with a point that got brought up. Our friend Robert Behrens, I'll get into him again in a minute, but he was talking about the fact that A&M's contract with Adidas is up here in a couple of years. It'll be done in 2027. Do you think A&M ends up jumping to Nike, or do we stay put with Adidas?
I wouldn't be surprised to see us stay put with Adidas because Adidas has done us really well, quite
I agree.
frankly. And not to mention, I remember when we were in Nike school and Nike cannot figure out maroon to save their life, at least not on the jerseys. And what's funny is 10 years ago, you wanted to be a Nike school or a Jumpman school, right?
Sure.
I didn't know Jumpman was around quite 10 years ago. I mean, the logo would, but but
But
there's only a
you start
handful of
seeing it
Jumpman.
with Oklahoma, and you started seeing it with North Carolina, and you started, I mean, I think who else? UCLA's got it now. I mean,
Yeah, but I think the way that Adidas has treated us. And then you also look at times have changed, man. Nike isn't the baddest dude on the block by a mile, right?
No, and you're starting to see big time programs get poached away. I mean, you saw it happen with Tennessee. Tennessee's now an Adidas school. Penn State, which is also a massive brand, just jumped over to Adidas. And we are still at the top of their list of teams.
Right. I think a lot of it just has to do with the relationship that we have with Adidas.
Correct.
And again, like the popularity thing, three strap life, man. There's gone are the days of wanting to go to a Nike school unless it's Oregon.
I mean
And
that.
that's because Oregon is Nike.
Well, yeah, any team that ends up jumping in with Nike, you're just fueling that machine. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, I'd love to see a stick with Adidas. I think they've done great stuff. I buy a lot of the gear, quite frankly.
Their gear has improved significantly since it started, I
Well,
think.
and that's a big part too, is they've come a long way, quite frankly, because I think in the beginning they didn't quite understand how to market with us, honestly.
Yeah, and they've come around with it, and Adidas has done a really good job in terms of, I think, well, just what we saw out of the most recent round of football uniforms, I think these have been the best we've had in a long time. I don't get me wrong, I love the double stripe for the Johnny ears. That's nostalgic for me.
Yeah, I thought they were cool too. I
Love
mean, but
those uniforms.
we got the
Maybe a little
script
busy with the
Aggies.
numbers.
We got script Aggies.
So good. That's the best black uniform we've had in any sport, period.
Yeah, the 90s throwback.
Open up 90s with the collars, great. I
Yeah,
mean, the
the
1956
39.
throwback was good. The 39 throwback was good.
They've just done so well. So I'd like to see us stay with the Adidas, quite frankly.
I'm okay with it. And, you know, as time goes on, you're going to start seeing more and more of that because Under Armour's largely getting out of the game. I mean, the
I was
fact
about
that
to
they
say,
lost Auburn.
I was about to say it's basically down to two at this point. I mean, if you want to separate Nike and Jumpman, you can.
But that's not, I mean, it's the same company.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the reality is it's Adidas or Nike, and reality is we're doing fine on both on that front with Adidas, so I don't see why we'd leave.
Yeah.
On the other hand, this is just me arguing. So I asked, you know, I posted this earlier. I said, broke, A&M going back to Nike from Adidas. Woke, Texas A&M going back to Coke from Pepsi. Get Pepsi out of my life, please.
I wholeheartedly concur with you on that one.
Thank you. People are arguing with me about this. I'm like, have you ever? I can't do Pepsi. It's just, bleh.
I remember growing up, we used to go to Splash Town in the summers, and the Pepsi rep was kind of, would come out because that was, then you'll have to probably be older like me to remember this, but they used to do the Pepsi Challenge, and that was like part of their commercials, and there was a big commercial campaign ad, and they would go out into communities and set up tables and just have like basically little Jello shot cups, and be like, try this and try that one, and tell me which one tastes better. Tell me which one is Pepsi, or it was something along those lines. And it was always easy for me because I grew up drinking Coke.
Yeah, same.
It was easy for me. I was like, well, I know which one is Pepsi. It's the one that tastes like crap.
Yeah, by comparison, for me.
Yeah, it tastes like Coke, but with salt in it.
Well, that's my whole stick. It's like you're going with, I mean, it's like bargain brand everything, right? Yeah, you know, everybody looks at it again. Nike's the big brand, Adidas is the little brother. Coke is the big brand, Pepsi's the little brother. A&M is the little brother to Texas's big man. I don't care about all that. The reality is Coke just tastes better.
That's a fact.
And the fact is, we are in the Southeastern Conference, and we cannot for the life of us get a freaking Waffle House anywhere within 100 miles of this place, it feels like. So we might as well at least get the one thing that the rest of the conference understands, and that's Pepsi. Coke, you know, Pepsi is very much a North Carolina thing. Coke is a Georgia thing. Which one do you think really resonates better with the vibe? I think it's Coke. I'm getting a little unhinged about a soft drink.
You sure are.
Not that I drink it a ton, but I'll drink it when I feel like it.
All
And
right. The
so,
other RCB point.
yes. So RCB, my boy, he actually just got himself set up with these very nifty Reveille shirts where she is wearing the eye patch.
I patch Rev.
Eye patch Rev, and here's the best part. Proceeds are going to the Aggieland Humane Society. That's awesome. With that, what I'm going to do is on the video link here, I'm going to include a link for the shirt if you want to go get it. And the best part is you have options. If you want a standard classic cotton shirt, you can get it. If you want a tri-blend, that's what I got here because they're comfortable, you can get one of those. You want a tank top, you want a hoodie, you want a hat, you want a sticker. They have it all. And
Yep.
it's a great shirt for a blackout game, so.
And they shipped pretty quickly too.
Oh, very quick. I definitely got it within the week. It was
Yeah,
fast.
it was like 7 days. Yeah, got a shirt for me, the wife, the kiddo, and got a sticker that was going to be for me, and the kiddo took it. So,
They're slick and they're comfortable. Buy one.
I noticed they do run a touch small.
Yeah, this one wasn't too bad on me, but
Yeah, it's just a touch. It's just one of those where like I want to be careful about drying it.
fair.
Yeah, so I might make another order and just order a size up. But yeah, they're fantastic cause, hilarious shirt. I wore it the other day, and literally, I think almost everyone that saw me made a comment.
It's great. I mean, I was wearing it around today and everybody was saying the same thing. Like, that's a great
Yeah,
shirt. I'm like,
it's
here's the
for
link.
yeah, it's for a great cause.
Yeah. So by all means, go support
They're
that.
not that expensive. They're
No.
not. It's this isn't like
This is a
$40.
$20 shirt. You know, you go out to a concert, you're not going to get a shirt for $20.
No, get a
No.
sticker.
You might get a sticker. Definitely get at least two koozies. But anyway, be sure to follow us on our socials. That is Roy May 15 Junior on Twitter and X. You can follow Rob the Slapper for both of mine on Twitter and X. I mean, on Twitter and Instagram. Like, it's all there. Just go give them a look. And then, of course, be sure to follow us on the Red Ass Podcast on both platforms. We are constantly posting about what we'll be posting about when the shows are coming out. You want to leave comments, you can comment on Instagram if you want. You can comment on our DMs. You can send them to us directly. It's totally fine. And be sure to share it with everybody, all your friends, all your family, especially your Longhorn friends who are going to be like, who are these two idiots? Send it to them.
Yeah, that'll go over like a fart in church.
I'm sure it absolutely will because it's not like we dumped on their quarterback for the better part of about 3 minutes.
I was going to say 2 weeks.
But yes, guys, thank you all so much for listening in. And we are so excited to get back at it. I'm back on the road this weekend. We're going to Lubbock. Sorry. And then we're going up to Farwell after that. I love my Red Raiders when it comes to shows. They support live music better than anybody I know. They have
Yeah.
been incredibly, incredibly awesome to us as a band. And we get to do a little dove hunting too. So that's not a bad deal. So excited for that this weekend. How about you?
Just working the game, ma'am. Just gonna watch college football Saturday, and then I gotta work on Saturday, or I gotta work on Sunday.
All
There's
right.
still the condo complex and all kinds of other things, other clients. It's randomly just in a down market, I'm randomly got really busy.
Hey,
So
they can
never gonna complain about that.
never. Well, once again, folks, I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Thank you all so much for checking us out this weekend. Gig 'em, beat the ever living hell out of Utah State.
Jacob.